From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Our next guest is Dr. Adam Hill. He tells the harrowing story of a doctor in recovery for alcoholism, depression, and burnout, who, after losing a mentor to suicide, works to make his profession more empathetic and conscious of the need for self-care. The story is his personal story, and we welcome him to the program to hear about how his book is really a roadmap for better practices at a time when he says doctors around the world are struggling in silence. The book is called Long Walk Out of the Woods, A Physician's Story of Addiction, Depression, Hope, and Recovery. Dr. Adam Hill, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You are so courageous for writing this book. And you said that there was really no other way around it, even though writing this book could put your reputation as a doctor at stake. How so?
Yeah, over the course of my career, I have lost 6 colleagues to suicide and see every single day individuals who struggle in a system that defines people by measures of strength that include just working harder and longer and not seeking out help or treatment for their own mental health. And in that context, seeing those people struggle and in silence, I just felt like I had to stand up and say something and share a message, share my voice of, you know, there are brighter days, there can be a way through this, and wanted to be able to authentically share with my colleagues what I've been through so that maybe in some way it'll help them in their own story as well.
Mm. I guess that this was very eye-opening for me, your story, and I suppose that while your target audience really is other medical professionals, as you say, going through these same sort of things that you went through and to a certain degree are still going through, probably, I guess I thought in medical school somewhere, they train you how to deal with these pressures and these stresses. To what extent are there services in medical school and then as you get into the profession?
I think the truth is we are way behind the eight ball, and now we're starting to recognize this epidemic of distress in medicine, and so starting to try to pedal our way out of it in the last few years and creating infrastructure and programs and acknowledging that this is where we are. But when I was going through training, it really wasn't something that was talked about or even acknowledged or even not a lot of spaces carved out to acknowledge our humanity and practicing what can be really difficult, traumatic work with a lot of salient emotions on a daily basis. So we didn't talk about it. And part of writing this story and the programs I've created is, you know, really starting to open up that dialogue and conversation in a new, productive way.
And I have to confess, not as a medical professional, but that I have this presumption of stoic strength healer for medical professionals. And, you know, having several friends, you know, they definitely try to break that paradigm. But you write and reveal yourself in this authentic narrative. Why so authentic? Why so revealing? And is that to contrast this perception of medical professionals?
It is, and quite intentional. And, you know, I haven't worn a white coat throughout my entire career. I view things that cause additional barriers of separation between people as just that, another barrier, an obstacle. I work in medicine to be a healer and to connect with people and identify threads of our common humanity that draw us closer together. And I think you can really only create space for people to heal if you know them and provide an opportunity for their story to be told. And pretense and arrogance or this hierarchy of structure, to me, is an impediment to really, you know, getting to the heart of who people are and how you can help them. And so that's why I wanted to really deeply, authentically share my story so that people don't, you know, can see that they're not alone, that other people have walked in similar shoes, and it can open up other opportunities for me to connect to the people under my care.
Before we go into more of your story, is there innately this contrast? We think of healers, we think of empathy, we think of, you know, people whose hearts are really leaning towards others, and the construct of a medical professional is that white coat. And there are some of those who enter the field who do come into the field not necessarily because of the empathy. Are there innately some constructs of the current medical profession that make it difficult for those healer minds, those empathy personalities, to be successful and not to get just engrossed in the depression, anxiety, and the feeling of loss?
Yeah, I think it's a complex question and a great one. You know, I think that there are certain aspects of the work that have evolved into a modern, really large bureaucratic business in medicine that have been challenging for people to navigate who wanted to come into this work to make a difference in other people's lives, and navigating that, and, you know, in the volume of patients expected to be seen, and the duty hours and work hours and expectations of a rapidly evolving field can be challenging, and it creates spaces where you have to be very concrete and defined in your boundaries, your limits, your what you're willing to give and sacrifice of your life to work in an amazing field, and so grateful that I am blessed to work in it. But you have to be very mindful of that, and that it can become your life very quickly, and your identity, and it did for me. I think on the back end of that too is, you know, we have inadvertently created these obstacles and this stigma and stereotype of this stoic healer, and that seeking help for your mental health can alter, affect, or sometimes even be a detriment to your career. Mm. And some of the policies and how we credential doctors and provide them with malpractice insurance, that if you have certain histories in your own medical history, they become public knowledge, and it becomes really just it steers people away from seeking treatment proactively until sometimes it's very late on in their illness, or for some even too late.
And it's really interesting. I did text several of my doctor friends, and the texts from them came back numerous and plentiful, and much of what they shared was their own personal story of what you just echoed. Mm. What for you in this narrative of where your book has taken you, what was seeing other doctors, seeing yourself in these situations where you're just getting beat down, worn down by both the system and by just the reality of, especially in your field, pediatric oncology, that you're just seeing some of the saddest and most difficult of situations. What was that catalyst of recognition that you needed some help?
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, I sort of adopted this mindset early on in my career to grind through the experience. This was supposed to be difficult. I'm a perfectionist. I need to achieve at a high level to mask my own personal insecurities from an early age, and I did that. And defined academic achievement as a core identifier for myself for a long time. And so, you know, when that started to crumble, I really didn't know who I was, but I also didn't have a lot of self-awareness. So for me, it was really late on in being sick myself, because I just expected that it was going to be hard. I wasn't supposed to talk about my feelings when, you know, when a patient dies and you're told not to cry about it, well, depression can feel like just another emotion that should be suppressed to do your job. And that's how I existed for years until I was really at the point where I was actively suicidal and desperately needed help.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Adam Hill. His book is A Long Walk Out of the Woods, A Physician's Story of Addiction, Depression, Hope, and Recovery. And you talk about in the book, Dr. Hill, how, you know, anytime you're approaching paperwork for beginning a new job or applying for a new job, you're faced with questions like, have you ever been treated for a mental health condition? Do you have a history of alcoholism? Or have you been in mental health treatment? Have you been on medication for depression? And you say that these questions in and of themselves are, of course, a big reason that medical professionals don't ever get help for mental health or mental illness or depression or addiction or any of these things, which really loads on the issue. Is there a solution that you see? I mean, obviously, you're pointing out the problem in a huge way.
Yeah, no, I appreciate this question. It really draws to the heart of this epidemic in itself, is that we've built these policies to stigmatize and sometimes discriminate our own. And I think it really starts with acknowledgement that we've had it all backwards, that we should be proactive and encouraging in ways that people can seek treatment early on in the process. And some of that is there have been a lot of work in the last few years done to remove these questions from state licensing exams, from hospital credentialing paperwork. And so there has been a huge push culturally to do that in the last few years. And I've been able to be a part of that both on the local mm-hmm. level and state level, and rewriting policies and advocating for change so that people will be able to seek treatment without the same fear of ramifications. And so that's what I encourage people to do, is to continue to raise this issue in a way that's thoughtful and constructive, and rewrite policies that acknowledge that human beings, people who work in medicine, have health conditions, and they should seek treatment for those health conditions so that they can continue to work productively and healthy in their jobs. And the current policies, unfortunately, have done the opposite.
Right. So I have so many questions. We have just a couple of minutes left. But there, one time, a long time ago, I heard this statistic that sort of stuck with me, and it had to do with anesthesiologists and that area of medical profession. They were the biggest abusers of the drugs that they administer, which sort of makes sense. And, you know, we as lay people, not in the medical industry, we know it's hard to get, although not as hard as it should be, to be prescribed opioids, for instance. What is the prevalence of drug abuse by those in the medical profession who can prescribe themselves medicine?
Yeah, I mean, you very thoughtfully point out the truth that there are certain subspecialties in medicine that struggle more because of either access to those resources or stress of the work, or and so we do see that you know, there are higher rates among some doctors, some nurses, some advanced practice care providers. I'm sorry, I forgot the rest of the question.
Just about that prevalence of abuse of your ability to write prescriptions.
Yeah, I think so. We've really been in this secretive time where a lot of that true data isn't known, because we've sort of pushed people away from proactively come forth. And so there's some statistics out there that show that 15, maybe 20% of individuals that work in some aspects of medicine have substance use disorders. But the people who actually get into treatment is significantly less than that, because we've sort of just tried to bury and hide that away. So where the true numbers are, it's hard to know. But that's why I speak up, because I worry about those people that were not getting into treatment and what happens when they don't. So it is a significant issue and one that I think we need to continue to address.
And what you mentioned, that there's some programming that you currently have that you've started and coupled along with this book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. I here locally, sort of in our own hospital, I started a project called Compassion Rounds, which really is a space designed to create vulnerability amongst our human stories and share our experiences of individuals working in a healthcare system. And it's for all comers, environmental service workers, cafeteria workers, our nurses, docs, but we come and share our human stories of death, loss, tragedy, suffering, grief, discrimination. We tackled mental health and medicine recently, and we pack an auditorium with a couple hundred people and just try to create this very safe space that we can connect as people first, because I feel like those are the moments and the spaces where we can start to have honest conversations and where healing can begin. So programs like that, programs of normalizing mental health treatment for our doctors, for our residents, for our medical students, getting them into counseling with what we call opt-out counseling, meaning everybody's scheduled to go. Because it's normal, and you should. And if you don't, there's no repercussions. Nobody will know. You're not in trouble. But we just make those appointments so that you can walk down the hall and say, I'm going to counseling today. And your colleagues say, cool, yeah, I'm going next week. So we try to normalize the conversation in many different ways. So there's a few of the projects that we're working on.
The book is Long Walk Out of the Woods. It's a physician's story of addiction, depression, hope, and recovery. Our guest is Dr. Adam Hill. And before we let you go, Adam, I'm just wondering, have there been repercussions? What has been, how has this book been received by your medical peers?
You know, it's actually been overwhelming love and support. And I think in writing this and then now being blessed to travel over the last few years and speak, I really found that this is such a larger audience, that so many people in recovery programs and the addiction community and the mental health community and church groups and high schools and colleges, that this message of hope and recovery resonates with all people. Mm-hmm. And so I've been blessed to sort of meet people in all walks of life and different stages of their own life stories, and just felt an overwhelming amount of love and support. And so it's really been an honor and a great blessing to my life to be able to do that.
Well, best of luck with this book and for your continued efforts, both for yourself and for the whole medical community. Hoping we'll see you in Park City sometime. I have a feeling that we could use you here to give a talk. So thanks for joining us this morning.
No, thank you so much. I hope you have a great week.
And yeah, Long Walk Out of the Woods. It might be a nice holiday gift if you're thinking of that medical professional in your life that has everything. Maybe they need this book.
They need that long walk in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.